The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Not all accounted for still. Rich on vacation. Brady's here. Artie's here. How you doing, big boy, on a Monday?
I am very, very mad.
You're very mad.
Yes, because someone deleted all of my files off my computer.
So just undelete them. It's not that big of
yes,
a deal.
Yes,
come on, what is wrong with you?
Don't act like it's not a big deal.
Did someone like do it on purpose?
I have no idea.
Or could it have done by accident?
I'm sure it was done by accident.
I did it by accident.
Yeah, well, if you did it, you're going to spend the hours it takes to rebuild all of those
come
files.
Come on. Does it take forever to go ahead? You're very crabby today. I noticed that.
Yes, because of my files.
Oh, big deal. Unfile them. Do something. I mean, by the way, can't you find out who did it? There's only like four of us that work here.
I don't have any idea.
And Rich
who
isn't
did
here.
It.
That leaves me and you. Let's blame
the
interns. Yeah, let's blame all the interns.
I have no idea. No
wow.
idea what happened.
Jeez, did you have a good weekend? You went to the
no,
movies?
No, I had a terrible weekend. Well, UVM lost.
But you went to the movies. You started off that way, did you
yes,
not?
Yes, yes. Jess and I and our
how was the movie?
It was good. Game night. It was Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams. It was nice. It was a good movie. And saw that over at the Essex Cinema. Went over to On Tap for dinner beforehand.
Look
so that was
you,
fun.
Big boy.
Then Saturday, UVM game pretty much stunk. And then went out to the cider mill in Waterbury, Stowe area.
You wanted to do that for a while now.
Well, Jess wanted to do it for a while. I'm happy that I went, though. It was great.
You're not playing ball tomorrow, are you, because of the UVM game?
I can't play ball tomorrow.
That's okay. We'll see. See, now here's the difference. We play the same team again, right?
Yeah.
The one with the punky white kid that called into the show?
Yep.
Okay. We beat them by two, right?
Now, so you'll see how much you beat them without me?
Now we'll see how much we beat them without you and me taking over the shooting, okay?
Wow.
We'll just see how that works out. This is a perfect experiment. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see who's more valuable.
Exactly. We won by two with Brady. Now I'll take over Brady's spot. I'll be chucking them up like you do, and then we'll see how much we win by. Could be we could lose by 10. I mean, who knows? By 20. I have no idea.
We're going to need other people to step up besides you. Put it that way.
Yeah, I'm playing tonight, though. I'm going to be a little bit late. My wife's out of town. My kid's out of town.
Yeah, so you got the house to yourself?
I
got
to keep the dogs alive until they get back Wednesday night.
Well, what if one of them has an accident on the carpet again? Are you
it's
just going to leave that for days?
I will
days?
Sit back until Wednesday until my wife gets home.
Oh.
Yeah.
As Rich would say, oh,
I know that, that's
gross.
I know. What do you want me to do? You know, I made sure that.
I want you to clean up after your dogs or don't get a dog.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's.
Nevertheless, two.
I will clean up when I get home, but what can I do now? I'm at work, so.
How did you babysit when Shay was younger?
I don't know. I tried to remember that. I have no idea. I don't think my wife ever left me with
the
baby.
By the way, I ran into your wife at the grocery store yesterday.
Obviously, she was shopping.
She was shopping.
For like kale. And
for all of the cookies that you required her to get.
She did buy me Chips Ahoy, yes. So I do have to say that.
But she said that your son went out on Friday night with a buddy.
With his buddy.
And you were monitoring his Uber like some Lifetime movie.
No, you want to hear what's funny is my kid has two accounts. And, you know, he never tells me where he's going or anything like that. But one's his personal account, which I don't have the code to or anything like that. The other one is for, like, colleges, coaches, getting a hold of them, you know, bills for the car, insurance, you know, stuff that health insurance because he was up in Canada. So we had to renew it on that. So I have another account where I always check it, especially for the colleges because he's applying to schools. They come in and we got to get this back, a scholarship here, this, there, you know, paperwork like crazy. And then I noticed as it was coming in, he would he was Ubering Friday night. So it would say where it was. So I would text him and go, man, I hope you're not at so. I'd give the address. I go, there were murders the last month there. I go, I hope you're not up there in Colchester at that address. Yeah. And he was right back like, are you following me? What are you doing? Do I have like a chip inside me that you're following me around? He's so stupid. He doesn't realize Uber tells you exactly where you get dropped off and stuff like that. So. He had no idea.
I'm glad you were creepily following
him. I like that, but I didn't do it on purpose. I just happened to look up his account.
You know, I once had a buddy who had a girlfriend who was a little overprotective, let's put it that way. And we went out on a trip together on a plane. She sat and watched our plane, like on the app, for 4 hours.
You mean until you landed or something? Well, what did you think was going to happen?
I don't know. But she sat and watched the plane on the app just go across the country for 4 hours.
Sometimes I'll watch it in my seat to see how far we are from landing. You know what I'm talking about? You see how high you're flying and how many miles or how many hours until you land or
something. She sat and watched it for 4 hours.
That's creepy.
And then called him immediately when we were off.
I know you landed. I'm watching.
Yeah, you didn't text me to tell me that you're safe.
What's wrong with you? Damn you. I hate you. I hate you. Wow. So I guess a little overprotective there. Lots going on. Real busy week. By the way, have you heard from Rich? He's still on vacation, right?
We still have not heard from him.
Is this week 3 on vacation for him? I'm not sure.
It's like week 7.
Wow. He just takes.
We haven't seen him since like New Year's.
Wow. It's unbelievable. And I know he's in Phoenix somewhere. At least I think it's supposed to be in Phoenix.
Yes, he was supposed to be in Phoenix. And now who knows if he'll be able to get back if we're getting apparently more snow on Wednesday.
I know. That's why I got my wife and kid out of town now. They were supposed to go yesterday and, tomorrow. And I called the airlines. I'm like, man, get them out of town now because we're going to have a snowstorm.
So you called and got airlines to take care of your kids, but Rich would refuse to do it for himself.
I did this like 2 days ago, too. I said, you know, we're going to have a big snowstorm. And they're like, we usually don't do this until 24 hours so we can see the thing. She goes, let me see what I can do. Came back. She goes, okay, it's done.
Yeah.
I go, please. I go, my kid's going to college. I can't have him living with me anymore. I can't have him miss the flight and not go to college, please. So she got back on, and they changed a flight and didn't have to charge me at all. So that was kind of crazy. So I was excited about that. All right, busy week. Lots going on. We're only working 3 days. We'll tell you what's going on. Brady, what's happening today?
Yeah, housekeeping for the week, though. Wednesday, trivia, City Sports Grill, 7:30 to 9:30,
as always.
Yes, I will
be there, yes.
Thursday, all-day watch party, NCAA tournament action. City Sports Grill, again, will be there from noon until 9 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
All-day watch party. Come hang out with us. Friday, McGillicuddy's Colchester from 4 till 6. So we are off the air Thursday and Friday. We are airing all of the games. So you're going to want to tune in to listen to the games. You can also come watch them with us at those various locations. And you can join our 101.3 ESPN Bracket
and
Challenge.
And you better join. Listen to how you join. We had like 350, 400 people last year.
Yeah, last year we had 350. This year we've upped it. It's easier to join, and the prizes are better. So there's a direct link on 101.3ESPN.com. Also on our Facebook page, I just did 10 minutes ago a Facebook Live video, and I included the link, direct link to in there as well. And the prizes, $101 in cash in honor of 101.3 and a $200 gift card to Yipes North.
Now, last year, is when I tried to sign up and Rich tried to sign up, we couldn't sign up.
Yeah, but you guys are...
Now, it's got to be Rich and Arnie proof.
You
it's
guys,
gotta be
it
Rich
is.
And Arnie proof. So if I just sign, I could go on there right now and I should be able to get it right on.
Yes, you hit the link.
Okay.
And then it'll ask you for the group name, which is included, 101.3 ESPN 2018. That's the group name. And the password is Huddle.
Oh, well, now you just told me the. How would I have known the password if you didn't tell me that right now?
It's included on the direct links that I just referenced.
Okay. So everybody's going to know now. I don't want to hear any baloney people start texting us, I can't get in. I can't get in. So one more time, tell them, get in with Facebook page or the website and go now. And oh, by the way, do they get the Tuesday, Wednesday games automatically? They have
yes.
Thursday?
Tuesday, you have until Thursday at noon.
Okay, but if they sign up now, you don't make them pick the play-in games? Is that the way that works?
You wouldn't have to pick the play-in game unless you're picking that play-in game winner to keep advancing.
Right.
So that's why it behooves you really to wait until after the play-in
game. Okay, so wait till Wednesday. But whatever, if you want to go now, you know how to do it. We want to make sure everybody knows because last year we were getting text, oh, I can't do it, blah, blah, blah. I haven't figured it out. I'm dumber than Arnie and Rich, you know, stuff like that. So we had that all over the place. So I'm glad that's going on. All right, what do you want to start with? What's happening?
Well, we'll talk to Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic at 4:35, covers college basketball. John Becker, UVM men's hoop coach at 5. Ooh. Patriots make a trade over the weekend. We'll get our daily spring training update. Actually, a really cool idea coming out of spring training. But first, look, I'll be the first to admit it. I thought UVM was going to whitewash UMBC. They're clearly the better team. They're still the better team.
Yes,
but they did not play well on Saturday. Story of the game was as follows. UMBC hits 10 threes. UVM hits 5. UMBC took 18 more shots than UVM.
That's incredible.
And UMBC scored 23 points off turnovers where UVM scored just 6. And UVM didn't score a field goal in the last 8.5.
No.
Those 4 points right there. Those 4 reasons, that's why UVM is not going to the big dance.
Didn't do a good job of running the offense at the last, what was it, the 7 or 8 minute mark? I forget what it was. Disappointed. I mean, obviously the team's disappointed. I feel horrible because, you see, this is what you get when you're in a league with a one-bid league. And the mid-majors, NCAA tournament was not kind to the mid-majors. But getting back to Vermont, I mean, to lose, what, one conference game in 2 years, and now you're only going to make one tournament because of this. And UMBC is only going to get a 16 seed out of that.
And they're playing the number one overall seed, right. Virginia. They're going to go, honestly, and this is not me acting like a sore loser on UVM's behalf. UMBC is going to get beat by 50 by Virginia. Virginia plays great defense. UMBC cannot score. Jarius Lyles is a great scorer. He had 27 against UVM. Not one other player had in double figures.
Well, that's what makes it frustrating, because I thought UVM should have called a few timeouts or said, hey, we got to work the ball in, go inside out, take it in a little bit more, get it into the big guys. We were holding it to like the last 10 seconds and then running the offense, it seemed. And I didn't think we did a very good job executing down the stretch.
Last 8.5 minutes, UVM played tentative, and they played nervous. And they played, you know, they disputed it after, and Trayvell Haynes said it after the game that he didn't feel like they were playing not to lose. He didn't feel like they were playing with a ton of pressure on them, but they looked like they were playing that way. Anthony Lamb still, look, he's a gamer. You're glad that he was able to get out there.
He's 75% or whatever. Yeah.
He was glad. You were glad that he was able to get out there and play, but he didn't give them what he's capable of. 5 points in 23 minutes. We know that. And I don't know that I expected him. I thought he would play well on Saturday, but by and large, I didn't think he was going to offer much to this team the rest of the season. I did think he could be an X factor and a spark plug on Saturday, and I was wrong about that. But the story for me is this: UMBC only scored 65 points.
Yeah.
If you only allow 65 points,
you should win.
You should win. And
especially at home, yeah.
Offensively, they turned it over. 23 points allowed on turnovers to UMBC. And defensively, I thought they still did a good job. Lyles was the only one in double figures. It was the offense that let them down on Saturday, not the defense.
Big Mike and McGillicuddy's texting. There are at least 10 to 12 teams in the dance UVM is better than, way better than. See you guys at McGillicuddy's on Saturday in Williston. You know, that's what bothers me, because I think they are better than 10 to 12 teams that are in the tournament. Unfortunately, they're not going to get there. That's why I've been screaming now, more so than ever, you've got to get out of these one-bid leagues and try to get your wake up into a Big East or something like that. Now it pays you more than ever, because enough is enough. If you want to stay in a league where they're going to take one every year, you lose one damn game and you're out, and that can go on for years. You can't make a living off a conference like that. And they were supposed to be kinder to the mid-majors. And let me tell you something. The NIT did them no favors. A 6 seed and on the road against Middle Tennessee, which I felt should have been in the tournament.
Middle Tennessee, you talk about getting snubbed as a mid-major.
Yeah, yeah.
16-2 in Conference USA. And I know a lot of good programs have left Conference USA. You know, Memphis used to be in Conference USA. And I think Louisville was in Conference USA for a while. So there were really good programs at one point in Conference USA. But we're not talking about them playing in the Big West,
right.
Okay? 16-2 in Conference USA. They had an RPI inside the top 40. They were a really good team. That is a tough matchup for UVM in the NIT.
I could tell that the Vermont fans are disappointed, because either my Town Fair Tire text line doesn't work or nobody's texting in about Vermont's loss. They were texting in right after the game, and I know you guys are disappointed. We should be getting texts on Vermont like I'm giving away $100 bills, for crying out loud. 802-655-6672. 802-655-6672. So get on in. I mean, how disappointed are you? Is it time to maybe rethink your situation about joining another conference? Or do you just want to stay here in this conference and go for the one bid and hope you're good enough to go ahead and win the conference tournament every year? I'm really disappointed, Brady. I got to be honest with you. This one hurts more so than a lot of them, because this was a year I thought they can go far.
Well, John Becker, do you guys care about the NIT? That's what I want to know on the Town Fair Tire text line. John Becker after the game.
We're playing in the NIT. Like, if we're that arrogant to think that that's not a great honor, then these guys aren't who I think they are. So we're playing in we won the regular season. We're playing in the NIT. And we didn't win this game and didn't get to the NCAA tournament. So we better regroup and represent ourselves and our program and our university in a first-class manner like we've always done. So, we're playing in the NIT. It's not like, it's still a pretty big deal.
So John Becker, he's not having any of the notion that the NIT is a second-class tournament.
You know what, though? Maybe he should a little bit. Maybe he should say, look, we're disappointed not make it to the NCAA, but we're going to represent in the NIT. You got to show some disappointment, because, I mean, that shows you that you're a program that should have been there, that felt that they could have won a game or two, that could have made some noise. You can't just say, well, the NIT is a good one, too, so we're happy to be here. And I understand what he's trying to do, get his team all pumped up. But, I mean, geez, the disappointment. I felt so disappointed for the kids. it just ate me up. I'm like, well, there you go. No tournament for no NCAA tournament this year.
Look, I think people who say it's a disappointed or people who might have the feeling that they're embarrassed by being in the NIT. I think
look at the text right now. Nobody cares. Travis and Milton, nobody cares. Stuff like that.
I think it's ridiculous, though, if people have that attitude about this team, because look at what this team has accomplished. This team needs to be celebrated and appreciated rather than ridiculed. This team went 31-1 in league play in the regular season over 2 years. It produced back-to-back players of the year, sixth man of the year, coach of the year, rookie of the year. This is an unbelievable run that you may never see again. And rather than chastise this team for failing in one big moment, this team deserves to be appreciated.
I don't think they're being chastised. I don't think anybody's chastising them. I'm just thinking people are disappointed. And you know what? They should be disappointed.
You should be
disappointed. Because expectations are higher for UVM.
You should be disappointed. I get that. But ultimately, you need to step back and say, look at what UVM was 20 years ago and look at where they've gotten to now. Look, I've seen this before. 2008 through 2010, when I lived in Albany, Siena College made the tournament each of those 3 years. They won a game, and they won a first-round game beating Vanderbilt 1 year. They got a 9 seed the next year and beat Ohio State. And since then, Siena has had two winning seasons, and they've gone 13-18, 14-17, 8-24, 11-20, 17-17, and 8-24 again. So you should appreciate that success that you have now, because it's transformational success, and it doesn't last forever. That's living proof of it.
Well, listen to what you said. 20 years ago, let's look how bad it was 20 years ago. That's what we should be saying about UVM 20 years from now. We should say, back 20 years ago, we were in a one-bid league. We were in a league where if we lost in the conference tournament, we didn't make it to the NCAA tournament. Now it's different. Now we're in the Big East or the AAC, right?
American. Yeah.
The American. Now we have a chance where 2, 3, 4 teams may go. Now, we can go ahead and have a chance to make the tournament if we don't win the conference tournament. And, that should be the goal now to get better. Who's on the line? Let's get to some calls. A lot of people are calling in. Who's first up, right?
Dan in Burlington.
Dan, you're on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Dan?
Yeah, I had to work on Saturday, so I need someone to explain to me what the hell happened. Were they outcoached, outplayed?
Dan, I was there. I'll keep you on, but just turn you down for a second. From my perspective, what I saw, I don't think they were outplayed, really, except for the fact I thought they played tentative. I thought they played tentative a lot of the game, but especially at the last 10 minutes of the second half. UMBC didn't do anything special. They have the best pure scorer in the league in Jairus Lyles and not a lot else around him. He got hot. He scored 27. No one else had in double figures. UVM's defense still played well enough to win. It was their offense and the tentativeness.
And
that
you didn't put him away when you got up by 9 a couple of times. You weren't able to go and put him away. That was the difference in the game.
Unbelievable. I was at work all day, and I had one of the kids come down and tell me what was going on. I work at a restaurant, and he said, oh, they lost.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, and I appreciate the call. I was going to say this. The call where it got overturned at the end of the game, it went off UVM. There was no – it went off his thigh.
Off Trayvon Haynes.
I'm talking about when UVM was up by 2, and there was a fight for the ball with like 30 seconds or something, 40 seconds left. And they ruled the ball to UVM, and then they looked at it in the monitor, and it went off a UVM player. I think it might have went off Henson, off his thigh. And that was the right call. People were complaining about that, but that was actually the right call. It did go off UVM, and it should have gone the UMBC. So it just stings. That's why I've been saying all along, we got to get to a better conference so this doesn't happen again. John says Middle Tennessee is the real deal. Yeah, damn right it's the real deal. I'm actually looking forward for that game tomorrow. Brady, what's coming up next?
What do we think of the bracket overall? And do we prefer the committee rewarding power conference teams, or do we want to see more mid-majors?
All right, all that's coming up next. We're off and running on a Monday right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local slant on all things sports.
We know that everybody's going to be gunning for us.
It's The Huddle with Rich Arnie and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. I want to get to this one. Jason sends this one in, first-time texter. I think as a whole, Vermont had a great season. However, our style of play is described as cautious, running down the shot clock, looking for the perfect shot each time, passing up good shots along the way. This cautious approach, it just changed on me because I'm getting a lot of texting. this cautious approach on offense, won 27 games, but we didn't win any of our up games, you know, like Kentucky, St. Bonaventure, Bucknell, etc. Hence the lack of an at-large bid, and it also caught us up with us at the end of the season. Teams started pressing us, exposing us even more by taking additional time off the shot clock. That is from Jason out there. Look, we weren't going to get – you're just not going to get a at-large. We've went over this numerous times over the last 2 years, Brady. I've been trying to get Vermont in at-large, but it's just not going to happen, you know?
It's not going to happen, but I totally disagree with what Jason has to say. Look, this team early on in the season, I mean, they scored points in bunches. They scored 60 against Coastal Carolina. They scored 90 against Maine Fort Kent. And I know that's a division, you know, NAIA, whatever,
but they
still scored 90. They got nearly 80 against Yale. They had 80 against Bucknell, 80 against Marquette. This team could score. They scored 81 against Siena, and they scored 80 against St. Bonaventure and 80 against Quinnipiac. And what do all of those games have in common? They were all before Anthony Lamb got hurt. And that's not to say that Drew Urquhart didn't play great, because he did. He was an all-conference player. Peyton Henson played great also. But this team was different the minute Anthony Lamb got hurt. They scored 80 points or right near 80. Like, I just listed 7 or 8 times pre-Lamb's injury.
Yeah.
When he got hurt, the team had to play a little bit differently.
I know you want to go ahead and get to the bracket stuff. Just a couple things to start the night off with the show. I thought it was horrible. I don't know why they moved it from CBS to TBS. We knew that.
I told you it was going to be bad.
I know that.
It was my gone but not forgotten last week.
The sound. Did you see the sound was off at the beginning of the show? It looked like a kung fu movie where the guys were moving their mouth, but it wasn't what they were saying. So that was going on. What was with the studio audience?
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Were there tickets for that?
Yeah.
Not that I would want to go. I just didn't. It caught me by surprise, because I think it's just a bunch of employees that they dressed up, and they look like a damn fool. So I don't understand what Barkley and Kenny Smith added to the show. Absolutely nothing.
Well, Barkley was there.
I know that.
Barkley's been in the show.
I know that, but he's horrible at college basketball.
He was there just to talk about how great Auburn was.
Right. And he didn't even do a good job doing that. Yeah. And Kenny Smith there for North Carolina. Ernie took a shot at Notre Dame because he's like, is Notre Dame next on the list? No. You know, because he was trying to be suspenseful.
He also called them the Buffalo Bills
which
instead
was
of the Buffalo Bulls,
which he screwed up that. And then he was eating a pizza. I guess that's part of it, because it was sponsored by Pizza Hut. I don't know. Maybe this show's going to be sponsored by steak and potatoes au gratin. I just the whole thing was a disaster.
Look, I'm not going to.
Number one.
You know as well as I do that doing 2 hours of live TV, you can mess up. I'll excuse him for the Buffalo Bills and Bulls one. If I were Buffalo, I'd be annoyed. But by and large, I'll give that one to him. The thing I hated was what I told you I was going to hate all along. Announcing the teams beforehand and then making us wait 25 minutes until they announced the matchups. That was my issue.
Well, they got everything done in the first 40 minutes, though. They had an hour, 20 minutes. And by the way, what I love about when they released the selections, they have these coaches on that have been fired, and now they're doing TV. They're not good at on the run trying to figure it out in 10 minutes. You know what I mean? You know, in football, you can look at it. You can examine it for the week, come on a show Friday, and have talked about it for 5 days. You got about 5 or 10 minutes to decipher the matchups and have you ever seen this team before? And some coaches did a horrible job. Didn't even get the matchups right. I'm telling you. Oh, and by the way, you're going to love this. My partner on Sundays texts me at about 10 minutes before the selection show, and he goes, Oklahoma's in! I go, what are you...
Because you're ruining it for me.
No, he said Oklahoma's in.
I know, I'm saying he ruined it for you.
Well, no, I didn't care, but he works for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's just starting now. They haven't even started putting up the first batches of schools yet. He knew. He found out before the selection process.
I think some of the athletic administrators have to know?
He said he knew the night before. And guess what? Now I found out that the selection process was pretty much done the night before. I'm like, this is not something you rush through. This is something you got to take up to the last minute, especially because of the Davidson thing. But anyway, what did you think of the brackets and your first thoughts on all that stuff?
I think the same thing about this bracket as I think about every bracket. I think that the mid-major schools got hosed.
Yeah.
And I am interested in a couple of things. The March Madness is so special because of the underdog story. March Madness is so special because of the stories that we never get told during the regular season coming out and coming to fruition in March. I'm interested in seeing the schools that are – I'm interested in seeing good basketball rather than just big name. And I'm sorry that if Florida State is going to go 9-9 in the ACC, I'd rather see St. Mary's. If we're going to be talking about Arizona State going under 500.
I don't understand how that's to me, that's mind-boggling how you could finish ninth in the Pac-12, take them with a sub-500.
And USC finished second.
Finished second and went to the conference tournament championship against Arizona where they lost to them. I have no explanation other than the fact that USC, Louisville, I forget what else, another team all involved in that FBI probe.
I mean, Middle Tennessee State went 16-2 in Conference USA. Conference USA, again, as we said a minute ago, that's not the Big West. This isn't the Big Sky, okay? The Conference USA has schools that you've heard of in it. So this is a team that played a top schedule. St. Mary's was in the top 20 a week ago and didn't get in.
Right.
I'm not interested in seeing the ninth team from the AC. I don't care about Syracuse getting in. I know that Syracuse and Arizona State in that playing game, their fans will travel, and there will be more T-shirts sold. And I get what
that's they had to travel today to go to Toledo. They're not going to make it to the playing game.
I'm not interested in Syracuse. I'm not interested in Virginia Tech. I'm not interested in teams that are 19-14 getting in over 28-win teams that have done everything you asked them to do. Middle Tennessee State, who we're going to see tomorrow play UVM, they did everything that you asked them to do. I mean, Middle Tennessee State, look at the schedule they played.
They did lose their last two.
I get that. But they had the most true road wins of any team in the country at 12. They had a top 10 non-conference strength of schedule and had a 33 RPI. And they played, get this, they lost one possession games to Auburn, USC, and Miami.
And they come from a halfway decent conference. It's not one of those conferences like, I hate to tell you, like the America Conference, you know, where you're just not going to get more than one team in.
America East.
What did I say? America
Conference. The American.
You know, you just got to go ahead. And I'm thinking maybe more people are going to come to my side now, Brady, about joining a new conference. Just a couple things on sleepers, because I know everybody loves the sleepers out there. I did my bracket yesterday. Of course, I have Arizona winning the whole thing.
Right
off the bat. But I do.
So you won't be winning the $200
I'm not so sure about that, but I do have a lot of upsets in the first couple of rounds. Watch out for Murray State to win a couple of games, find their way into the Sweet 16. I think they could beat a West Virginia and beat Wichita State.
See, I love West Virginia. Unless they're playing Kansas, I love West Virginia.
Just staying in the East, I like St. Bonaventure to win a couple of games. That means beat UCLA in the playing game, maybe Florida, and then like a Stephen F. Austin who I have with an upset. I think if there's ever going to be a one seed losing to a 16 seed, it could be Pennsylvania beating Kansas. I watched Penn in the semifinal game in the finals against Harvard, even though Harvard lost their player of the year. Something about this Penn team, very gritty, very gutsy. I like them a lot. A couple of other upsets. Watch out for New Mexico State. Love College of Charleston to get a couple of wins and get into the Sweet 16.
So what, do you have every lower seed winning? Is that
just
what you
about?
Have?
Just pretty much. Yeah. No, I did pick a lot. I'm not going to BS you. Though I got to tell you, some of these lines are not as crazy as you think they are. Well, not as big.
I'll just give you the math, okay? Yeah. According to ESPN's BPI, the Basketball Power Index, the most likely first-round upsets, Loyola Chicago the 11 over Miami the 6.
That shouldn't really count. That's a pick'em game.
So still an 11 over a 6.
Just in seed-wise, but go ahead.
So that's got a 43% chance of happening.
And I do like Loyola, yes.
12 Davidson over 5 Kentucky.
I have that one also, and that's only a 5.5 point spread. I was shocked when I saw that Davidson was only a 5.5 point dog. I thought Kentucky was playing good basketball now would be a bigger favorite.
San Diego State over Houston, 26%.
I like Houston in that
one. New Mexico State, 26% over Clemson.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about double-digit seeds with the best chance to win the Sweet 16, Davidson is the best odds, Loyola Chicago, then Butler, then Texas, then New Mexico State.
Did you do your Final Four? And who?
I have not done it yet. I will have it by Thursday at noon.
I had to do mine right away because I was on last night. So, you know, you got to do it like within 20 minutes. I go with my gut instinct. Except I always do pick Arizona. Though when it gets to the Final Four, I had Arizona, North Carolina, Purdue, and Duke. I have Arizona and Duke in the finals, and of course, Arizona winning the whole thing. I think it's going to be a good tournament. Hopefully, we'll get some buzzer beaters. We didn't have too many buzzer beaters in the conference tournaments this year. We didn't get a lot of those.
Well, Radford, UMBC.
Yeah, UMBC, yeah. Which is, and by the way, I mean, I'm like 3 seconds left. They go, somebody better get up in his face because he's shooting a three. And sure enough, he drained it, man. He absolutely drained it.
Jairus Lyles is the best pure scorer in the league. Joe Cremo, David Nichols, Trayvell Haynes, those are all probably the best all-around guards in the league. Jairus Lyles is the best pure scorer in the league.
All right, Fred in Ferrisburg gives me the one text that I always hate. UVM doesn't have the budget to switch conferences. All the sports have to move, not just basketball. Gonzaga said they're just moving for basketball when they wanted to go looking to get into the Big East. So I'm going to say that's not true.
Well, Gonzaga also has
but I'm just saying that
20
that,
years worth.
No, but I'm saying that's not true where you have to bring all the other sports.
But see, this makes my point, though. Yeah. You think it makes your point. I think it makes mine.
Okay.
And I saw this take a lot, too. UVM hasn't proven they can consistently dominate the America East. Why do you want to go and put them in the Big East? I want to get them to a point where, like Gonzaga, they've won the league 10 straight years, where they've gotten to a Sweet 16, where they've gotten to an Elite 8. All of that, Gonzaga has done that for 20 years.
For days like today is the reason why you go to a better conference, and for the money. Because that's where the money is. When you join a conference like that, you're going to get 6, 7, 8, 9 teams in the NCAA tournament, not just a one-bid league. You're going to get more money. You're going to attract better coach. Well, not that Coach Becker isn't good. You're going to attract better talent, bigger names. And you know what? You're going to be one of the big boys out there. And I would even put this group right now against some of the big boys. I would love to see what UVM would do against a Kansas, against an Arizona. I wouldn't by a long shot say that they would get run over. I think they have a chance to beat anybody in a one-game shot in this tournament.
So do I, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, unfortunately. That's the frustrating part. That's why you got to go ahead and get another.
By the way, in Champlain Valley game night, and I'm even going to mention it to Nicole Auerbach when we talk to her next.
Okay.
I've got a plan for maybe if we were ever going to get rid of the conference tournaments, I've got a way to do it.
All right. What is coming up next? And Toby, who's coming up?
Nicole Auerbach. She's a senior writer, college football, college basketball at The Athletic.
All right. Stick around for her. She's next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Tomorrow. And you thought the ESPN network hosts were opinionated.
Unsupportable opinion.
It's The Huddle with Rich Arnie and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back here in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Selection Sunday yesterday, everyone up here in Catamount Country bummed because, well, Selection Sunday didn't include the University of Vermont upset in the America East Championship game on Saturday morning against UMBC. Cats will take their talents to the NIT. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line now and talk with Nicole Auerbach. She's a senior writer at The Athletic, covers both college football and college basketball. Nicole, thanks for being with us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just, the post-Selection Sunday hangover.
Yeah. Well, that's an extra strong hangover for us here in Catamount Country. And let's start with this, because I found an article that you wrote 2 years ago about mid-major conferences or small conferences and the use of the conference tournament. Should we not have them? Like, Vermont got robbed, didn't they?
Yeah. So I'm always so torn, right? Because conference championship week is really fun. It's fun to turn on these games and watch all of these smaller schools, have these exciting moments. But a few years back, if you remember, it was something like, I want to say like 7 of the first 8 tournaments, the one seeds lost. And it's in that article that you're referencing, and I don't remember it offhand. But that was a year that, in my opinion, I had been following a lot of these smaller conference teams, and I thought that we were potentially even in the market for like a 16 beating a 1, depending on which 16s there were, just because I thought there were some really good low-major and mid-major teams that year. So I ended up talking to a bunch of different coaches about what that actually was like, right? So you work really hard for 2 months, you win your league, and you get upset in a winner-take-all tournament. And that's obviously what happened to Vermont. And I think, it's really challenging, because if I'm a small conference commissioner, I want to send my best team. I want to send my team that won the most games during the regular season, was maybe head and shoulders above everyone. And that team probably has a good chance. Like, if you're Vermont, you'd have a good chance at a better seed. You're not going to be a 16 because of your body of work and the respect that you've gained, because the committee is aware of you and they know what the program is and what you're building and what John Becker does as a coach, and you're more familiar with them. And you'd be in the running for a 13, a 14 seed, and giving your league a better chance to get that upset, to get that tournament unit, which is really valuable for these smaller conferences. So what America East does, which I think is smart and not all of these small conferences do, is at least they are trying to position their top seed to get that bid. They are giving them home court advantage. they're putting them in position to get that bid. They're giving them home court advantage all the way through. And some of these leagues, and I'm not sure entirely why, they send them to these random locations. Maybe the crowd's not great. Maybe their fan base can't get there, and they're not getting the kind of support that they would generally, that they did during the regular season. So, you know, I wouldn't have a conference tournament. And that's kind of what the point of the article was. I was like, why are these leagues even doing them? And then, you know, the pushback there is that there's money to be had. There's exposure to be had if you're on ESPN with your conference tournaments. And it gives all of the teams in the league something to play for. And their players get postseason experience if they make the field. So there are, you know, benefits to that. I see all of that. But from a competitive standpoint, and the best chance your team would have to get a win in the NCAA tournament, it would be to take your number one seed without having a conference tournament. So it's really tough, and it's so hard for teams like Vermont, like Middle Tennessee State, these teams that have had incredible seasons, and they get tripped up in one game in a conference tournament. It's so tough to take, and I think you see the outrage anytime something happens. When Vermont lost, there was a ton of chatter on my feed about just how much the system stinks sometimes, that a team like Vermont that's been good all year, good all last year, doesn't get to go to the NCAA tournament.
And how about, I'm trying to think about this, what's more valuable to the conference? If Vermont was there, they have a chance to win a game, as you said, and that would be great. Now the America East gets UMBC in the tournament. They get a great conference final. Then they get Vermont in the NIT, and Vermont could maybe go deeper in the NIT than they could have in the tournament. So the conference kind of wins both ways, don't they? That's a lot of exposure for the America East as a whole.
It is. It is. And I've spent time around both Vermont and UMBC this season, and UMBC is an awesome story. You know, this is a program that lost 20 or more games 7 straight years before Ryan Odom got there. And so that is great. You know, being a 16 seed that draws the number one overall seed in Vermont, that's less great. Less of a chance of getting that tournament unit. You know, with the smaller conferences, a lot of times, especially if you have an upset in your conference tournament and you're not going to be in position to be a non-16 seed, it's actually really beneficial to go to Dayton.
Yeah.
Because if you win that game, you get the tournament unit, which is, you know, $2.5 million. It's a big deal for these conferences. So that's tough. But UMBC, yes, they're going to get great publicity this week. They're going to get a lot of attention on this amazing turnaround that's happened under Ryan Odom. That's great. Yeah, and Vermont will be a favorite in the NIT, and that's also great. It's so tough to take that, you know, that these teams that, you know, are great for however many months, you know, can have one game that doesn't go their way and they get knocked out. So, you know, it's just, I see both sides in all of this. I like both programs. I like both coaches in this specific situation. So it's just tough. You know, it's you're happy for one, it's tough on the other. It was going to be that way either way. But you're right. I mean, both of these teams will get some exposure this week. You know, it's just, it's a little different than I've been doing a lot of interviews and getting a lot of questions. And so for the whole, you know, 2 weeks before the conference tournaments, it's like, hey, here's, you know, Vermont's going to be a 13 or 14, maybe a 12. I mean, this is a team that could bust a bracket, you know, and you don't have that with UMBC, particularly when you have them going against the number one overall seed.
Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic, senior college football and basketball writer. She's here with us now on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. This is my plan. This is my wacky idea, and I'll try to make it as succinct as possible for you. What about having a midseason conference tournament? And what I mean is, you know, give a team a point for a win in the first round, 2 points for a second round win, and 3 points for the win in the final, and then wait the season as you get a point for a home win and 2 points for a road win. So that way, rather than going, you know, oh, we're 3 games back or whatever, just say, okay, it's a point value, and that makes, you know, it keeps you interested all season long and gives you a conference tournament feel that gives you some points for winning that.
Yeah, you know, I just, the way that this format is set up, there's so much value in that conference tournament week and being a part of that ESPN week-long production of Champ Week, that we even saw the Ivy League, which honestly was the only one doing it the right way, and they were awarding a regular season champ. We saw them 2 years ago decide that they're going to do a 14 playoff, and it's exciting, sure. The atmosphere is awesome, especially for Penn to win at the Palestra yesterday. But again, is the risk worth bringing these teams, putting their best teams at giving them a non-zero chance of losing? The point system, I'm sure that would be an improvement. It sounds complicated, though, and even in these scenarios where, you know, even if you're going to take a regular season champ or you're going to try to give your number one seed the clearest path, and some of these leagues do, like, double buys. Like, I think Gonzaga always has a double buy. And like we said, you know, the America East gives home court advantage. But in all these situations, there is still value being brought in from having a conference tournament. And so that's the part that I think once you have them, even if you know that your number one seed is getting a chance to lose every single year, they're still having them because it's the exposure, it's the chance to play for a postseason, for seeding, for the experience, throughout the season if you're, you know, the fifth seed in your conference. I just think after talking to all the people I do in mid-major and low-major leagues for that story 2 years ago and continuing those conversations even through yesterday, I just can't see people going away from the conference tournament model just because of those benefits, which, again, to me, it's a really close call between whether or not they outweigh the benefit of sending your best team. But there's so many different voices and presidents and ADs and commissioners in those meetings and those rooms and coaches even, you know, on wanting their guys to get a postseason experience that I just don't see it changing, or at least not dramatically changing.
Nicole, we'll get you out of here on this. Overall, on the bracket, how'd you think the selection committee did? I don't know why Syracuse is in. I didn't think they should have gotten in 2 years ago when they got in and ended up getting to the Final Four, if I'm not mistaken. And the team that UVM is playing in the NIT, Middle Tennessee State, goes 16-2 in Conference USA and gets left out.
Yeah, I was talking to Georgia State coach Ron Hunter earlier today, and he was just talking about how it is such a reality in all of these small leagues that, you know, you're not going to have a shot as an at-large. And he was just, you know, heartbroken for Middle Tennessee State, and as anyone would be. Everyone knows exactly what situation that feels like, and especially because they did go out there and try to challenge themselves in the non-conference. But also at the same time understand that the cards are stacked against you. And so that's really tough. I mean, I would love for a team like Middle Tennessee State to have a real shot at getting in, but they weren't even, you know, the first team out. They weren't even that close to that. I think that was tough. It was tough to see Syracuse get in just because they were kind of pretty far off everyone's radar, all the bracketologists I saw at least. You know, you're kind of always guessing with Syracuse.
Yeah.
And it seems like a lot of people guessed wrong. I will say my initial reaction, though, would be the Arizona State versus USC debate and Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State, because I think that USC and Oklahoma State being snubbed, you know, that really shows to me that this committee decided on a couple of teams based on, like, you know, December 20th. They basically penciled Oklahoma in and Arizona State in, and it didn't matter how poorly they performed in conference season. That didn't knock them out. And I think that it discredits what USC was able to do, finishing second in the regular season in the Pac-12, finishing runner-up in the Pac-12 tournament. It diminishes that Oklahoma State swept Kansas for the first time in the Bill Self era, that they beat Oklahoma. And so to not see those teams in just discredits the entire conference season in the second half of the year. And I think that, to me, is more frustrating than seeing a team like Syracuse get in or seeing a team like Middle Tennessee State go out because we didn't think that they were going to be close enough to begin with. I think the teams that got better through the year, that played well in conference play, that stuff should matter. And so that's where I have my biggest questions for the committee and kind of the message that they're sending there.
Nicole Auerbach, senior writer at The Athletic, covers college football and college basketball. Nicole, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the tournament.
All right, you too.
Good to hear from Nicole. Good job, Brady. Nicole Auerbach, everybody. That was nice to hear. And, you know, back in the day, I got to tell you real quick because I know we're short on time. Back in the day, because I headed up the college tournament coverage last night for Fox. Back in the day, on Mondays, you would run out, get the USA Today, and they would have little capsules of every team that made the thing. And it was perfect because they would give you the big wins, the tough losses, the top three guys, you know, a thumbnail, what they did right, what they did wrong, and you would look like a genius. I used to cut it out and scotch tape it, 1 against 16, 2 against 15, and I would have these 8 pages in front of me all night long. Those days are long gone, Brady, I'll tell you that. People just want to fill out their brackets and see if they win any money or win any prizes.
Well,
now,
Yahoo will give you, if you do a Yahoo bracket, they will give you a synopsis of every team. And then I go to the KenPom rankings and check those out.
Yeah, and by the way, we will have a prize for you, obviously, $101.
Yeah, $101 is up for grabs in our bracket challenge.
Not also, quite as much as Warren Buffett will give you.
Also, $200 in gift cards from a Yipes North, all kinds of car accessories. So if you want a direct link to our bracket challenge, you can go to 1013ESPN.com or our Facebook page.
You know, Warren Buffett's giving away, for a perfect bracket, $1 million a year for life.
Yeah. Oh, so, absolutely. Yeah.
Good luck on winning that, my friend. Good luck. I have a better chance of dating supermodels. We'll take it to the top of the hour. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. We'll come back. We'll tell you a good story locally, and then we'll get to John Becker. So we got a lot to get to for hour two right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Tomorrow morning on Golic and Wing, the huddle is back. I'm sure you missed us. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Rich on vacation. Rich will be back on Thursday, which coincidentally, we don't have any shows on Thursday or
That's
Friday.
Right.
Unbelievable how he's worked that out. So, busy hour. We got John Becker coming up. We got Monday Mirages, spring training report, the 4-minute football fix, last story standing. So, lots to get to. Just some local news also, Brady, that we didn't get to before we hit the top of the hour.
Yeah, very cool. Congratulations to Eleanor Perrier. She's a Montgomery, Vermont native and a Richford High School graduate. She's a senior runner at the University of New Hampshire. Well, this weekend she captured the national championship at the Women's Indoor Track and Field Championships down at Texas A&M. She won the mile run with a time of 4 minutes, 31 seconds, 0.76.
That's what I run it in.
No.
No?
It was the closest mile final since 1991. And after the race, right after the race, Elle Perrier talked with the NCAA.
I mean, I don't think it's really sunk in yet. You know, I prepared a lot for this meet. And, you know, it's just like a lot of energy going into this. And it's a huge relief, but I'm really excited. I'm honored to finally claim that title.
So she had finished second last year and third the year before. So congratulations to Vermont native Ellie Perrier, because that's pretty cool.
I could have run 4:31, 4 hours and 31 minutes.
Yes.
Maybe I could have gotten that. What happened to Plattsburgh basketball? Lost to the, Sweet 16?
Yeah, Plattsburgh and Middlebury both lost in the Sweet 16. Plattsburgh beaten pretty handily by Swarthmore out of Pennsylvania. Middlebury beaten as well. But good seasons overall, especially for the Cardinals.
All right. You want to tell everybody where we are real quick before we get to John Becker, because we have a lot of stuff going on this week.
Yeah, we got a busy, busy week. Wednesday, trivia night at the City Sports Grill, 7:30 to 9:30.
Be there or be square.
Well, you're still square, and you'll be there.
I will be there.
Thursday, we've got the all-day watch party. We'll be at City Sports Grill again from noon until 9, watching all of the games. We'll have a ton of giveaways, a ton of great stuff going on. We will be off the air Thursday, airing the games. Friday, we're off the air, too. We'll air all the games again, and we'll be out at McGillicuddy's in Colchester from 4 till 6, so come on and watch with us there. And you can join our bracket challenge. Again, $101 to the winner and a $200 gift card to Yipes North. You get all kinds of car accessories there. You can get a direct link to join our bracket challenge at 1013ESPN.com or on our Facebook page.
Almost 100 people already signed up already. That's pretty good.
Nearly 100 people are in already, and it's only going to keep growing. Last year we had 350. We're looking to beat that this year.
Yes. All right. John Becker, coach of UVM. They're getting ready for Middle Tennessee. Here's what he had to say.
Well, you got to ask him how he is first.
How you doing?
I've been better, but excited to be able to play again tomorrow night.
Well, let's ask you this first and foremost. Simply put, what happened on Saturday morning?
You know, for whatever reason, the last 8 minutes of the game, we weren't ourselves, I guess. A lot of credit has to go to UMBC. I thought they made plays down the stretch, and we didn't. And, you have to tip your hat to them. But, unfortunately, we just got a little bit out of character down the stretch, and it cost us.
We talked in the post-game press conference about the team. Last 8 minutes, as you referenced, no field goals. And the one question we kept hearing after the game from listeners of our station said, a minute left, you guys had the ball. Why no two-for-one situation in that final, you know, in that final minute for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, we were just trying to get the best shot we could, and you know, it was a struggle for us to score. And yeah, in hindsight, you know, you like to do a lot of things differently.
Jarris Lyle scores 27 points. He hits that big three. Is he the best pure scorer in the conference?
Yeah, I mean, he's really a good offensive player, and obviously he had a huge game and made, you know, a huge shot there at the end. But yeah, he's really, really good.
This is something that we spent time on today, and we'll continue to spend time on it. I don't have the exact number, but a number of top seeds lost in their conference tournament at the mid-major level. Should we not have conference tournaments, simply put?
I mean, obviously, in our position, we wish the regular season champion got the NCAA bid, but you know, it's probably unrealistic to get rid of conference tournaments. And you know, as frustrating and devastated as we are, and so is Ryder from the MAC and Northern Kentucky and Middle Tennessee State, who we play. You know, but it. It gives everyone hope, I guess, in a conference tournament type setting. But yeah, it is frustrating to do all that work, and in a one bid league, it doesn't really matter except for the couple days of the conference tournament. So for that, it can be exhausting and frustrating, for sure.
Some fans disappointed in how the season ended, and don't want to label the season a success. I'm on the complete opposite end. I look at this and say, this is a senior class that won nearly 100 games and gave this area multiple years of postseason basketball, so I think it should be appreciated and celebrated. How do you view this season as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to say this season wasn't successful would be kind of ridiculous. I mean, we won 27 games. It's, I guess, a good place to be that people around here don't label it a success unless we go to the NCAA tournament. And you know, that's unfair. You know, it's really unfair to our players to do that. Obviously we were trying like heck and we wanted to get the NCAA tournament, and we came up short. But, you know, for the resources this program has and the facilities this program has, you know, our fan base has been really spoiled. And so, you know, I'm really proud of this group. I agree. They've done a lot of special things, and you know, it's really unfortunate that, you know, we weren't able to cap off another great year and all the adversity we had to overcome to get to the NCAA tournament. But, you know, I'm proud as heck to be the coach at Vermont and to have the opportunity to have coached these guys this year and their 4 years here, and nothing but pride and proud of our season.
John Becker, UVM men's basketball coach, with us here on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. His team will take on Middle Tennessee State in the NIT first round. That game tomorrow, 8 p.m. We'll have the coverage at 7:30. Coach, we'll get to Middle Tennessee State and the NIT in a second. Last question. I asked you this postgame. I just wanted you to tell our listeners again. How tough was it from a coaching perspective? How challenging was it for you trying to figure out how to re-implement Anthony Lamb into the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, him missing 2 months, you know, and the rhythm that we were in, and Drew obviously played great. And, you know, all of our guys, you know, Ross stepped up and was big when we needed him, and Sammy Dingba the same, and Nate Rohr. But yeah, we were just trying to, you know, I was just trying to use feel, and he got better every day in practice. And, you know, he was just a couple of shots going, you know, that needed to go down to really start to gain his confidence. And, you know, he played 23 minutes. He'd been playing 10 or 11, you know, just probably, you know, from a conditioning standpoint, you know, he was pushing it. And, you know, just tried to use our feel and bring him off the bench. And I just thought if he could get a couple of those face-up jumpers to go, I think his confidence would have really gone through the roof, and maybe he could have been, helped us a little bit more. But he did the best he could, and came back from that injury, it was a challenge, but a good problem to have, bringing a guy like that back in, hopefully he gets a couple more days of practice here, and hopefully he plays well tomorrow night.
On to Middle Tennessee State. That team 24-7. Blue Raiders went 16-2 in Conference USA. How do you get your team ready to play? Because they're facing the same situation you are, getting upset in their conference tournament. So how do you get your team ready?
Yeah, I mean, we practiced this morning and we didn't play well enough on Saturday to win, and that's the hard facts. But we can't feel sorry for ourselves playing in the NIT against a really good Middle Tennessee State team, and we want to, I'm happy for the guys that we have another opportunity to play and get Saturday out of us. But I think that's going to be a challenge. Who's into it more? Because Middle Tennessee had an NCAA selection show party with their fans and obviously didn't get an at-large bid. So I'm sure they're disappointed, although they've had more time since getting bounced from their conference tournament. But obviously, whoever's more ready to play, will be a big factor in the outcome of the game Tuesday night. And you look at their schedule and some of their wins, they're a really good team. They're a really good team. Obviously, they were great in the tournament last year, brought a lot of those guys back. And they beat some high major teams this year and played a really, really challenging non-conference schedule. And so it's going to be a tall task to beat them at home. But hopefully our guys are up for the game tomorrow night.
The NIT is changing some of the rules on an experimental basis here for the NIT. You're going to go to four quarters instead of two halves. The three-point line is going to move back a foot or so. The lane is going to widen. You don't have much time to practice for it, but what impact does that have on you guys?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll just play it, normally. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what four quarters looks like. And the women have been doing that for a couple years now. And the longer three-point shot, see if that opens up the court a little bit more. And it'll be fun to play with some experimental rules.
John Becker, UVM men's basketball coach, with us here on The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Coach, part of me says tomorrow, nothing changes for you guys. The seniors give you a great chance to win. And the other part of me wonders, do you get any of the younger guys a little more time than usual to help get them ready for the future? Does the coaching change at all for you tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll probably play a longer rotation tomorrow and get the younger guys some experience. We'll start the same lineup and play the game to win. And so, it'll be kind of a feel thing again, just kind of see how the game's going definitely want to get the young guys some experience and make it worthwhile for them.
Coach Becker, we appreciate the time. We wish you success and the best of luck tomorrow. And thank you for all the memories of the last 2 years here, because it's been an incredible run, and we look forward to it continuing in the NIT.
Hey, I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on.
Wow, some interesting stuff that you had to say, no doubt about that, especially when it came to, the game that they lost. First time texter says, Becker will go to a better conference where he has a better chance to go to the NCAA tournament if he slips up in the conference championship, plus somewhere that has better facilities. Well, that's exactly what I want for UVM, someplace that you can go where it's not a one-bid league, just somewhere that Coach Becker wants to go. That's what he's looking for. So no reason to think that Vermont shouldn't look for the same thing.
Do you think Becker's gone after this year?
I do.
Yeah?
I don't know for a fact. There's going to be a lot of openings, I think. Some are getting filled right now. I think he's a very good coach. I think there's going to be a high demand for him. Has he reached his potential here? What else could he do? I mean, he's going to have another good team coming back, but he may want to go ahead and try something new when it's all said and done.
Look, I tend to agree with you about upward mobility, and I tend to agree with you about things being stepping stone jobs, and I'm not naive in thinking that Vermont is not generally looked at as a stepping stone job. But a part of me keeps coming back to this. John Becker has spearheaded the new arena movement. Last year, at the end of the year, right after they lost to Purdue, he said, this is the reason why we need a new arena here. Would you really do that? Would you really go to all that trouble? Would you really ruffle the feathers that you need to ruffle to get a new arena if you planned on bolting right away? He could very well leave, and I generally am with you, but I could just keep wondering in the back of my mind, why go to that trouble if you were going to leave the next year anyway?
Well, because he probably thinks they need a new arena whether he's going to be here or not.
But what does he care about ruffling those feathers and getting those conversations going if you're not going to see the
– But he doesn't know, though. I mean, the UConn job's open. I think he would love that UConn job. Who knows if
he's from Connecticut.
Who knows if he'll be offered the UConn job. He doesn't know from year to year if he's going to be offered that ideal job that's going to want to make him leave Vermont when it's done.
If he is going to leave, this is the year to do it, though, because this is the year where Trayvell Haynes graduates, and this is the year that Henson graduates. And as good as Lamb is and as good as Ernie Duncan is and Everett Duncan, this cupboard's not bare by any stretch of the imagination.
It isn't. But
you're losing the player of the year two times in the league. This is the year to capitalize.
I think I would – look, if there's not the right opening, I'm not going to be so quick to leave. But if the right opening does come up, I think you do have a good team coming back. So – I wouldn't be so quick. You're not going to dominate the American East. But, you know, you said something interesting. You said, well, at least the texter did. He said here, Becker's going to go to a better conference where he has a better chance to make the NCAA tournament. Well, why is that okay for Becker to go to a better conference where there's going to be more than one team making the tournament? But when I asked for the same thing for UVM, you're like, no. We're okay in a one-bid conference. And, you know, everybody wants, players want to go to a conference that has more than one bid. Coaches want to coach in a conference that has more than one bid. I would assume that you want to play in a conference that has more than one bid. Who's on the line, Brady? Who do you want to get to?
Bruce in Montpelier.
Bruce, you're on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Bruce?
Hey, Arnie. How you doing, bud?
Good, Bruce. What's happening?
Listen, I was just listening to that interview with Brady and Coach, and he sounded a little disconnected, a little disinterested with a lot of you know, and but kind of answers. He sounded like a guy who wasn't really either ready for the call or even ready for sort of like to talk about what happened on Saturday.
What you mean, like, was he still disappointed, or just he hasn't been over yet, or what? What do you mean by that?
Maybe he was thinking ahead or something like that, because they're going to have a tough time with Middle Tennessee. It just sounded to me like he sounded like one of the kids when a kid's not ready for an interview, and he was like,
I didn't get that. I appreciate the call. Did you get that, Brady? Did you get that? And by the way, I do disagree with Coach Becker on one thing where he says the longer three-point shot may open up the middle of the court a little bit more. I think it's going to make it more crowded inside the key because I'm like, all right, you want to move it. It's move back.
Move back. It's like
a foot and 8 inches.
Yeah.
That's 20 inches. I'm going to let you take the three-point shot, especially you're not used to it, and I'm going to go ahead and, you know, watch out for the big guys underneath. So I don't know if it's going to open up the court as much as he thinks.
I disagree with Bruce also. I think it sounds like a guy who's still disappointed from the loss. I think it sounds like a guy who is trying to still wrestle with what happened. And I think you are allowed a grieving period. I don't think that he's not excited to be in the NIT. I don't think that he's not excited to coach this team again. The thing that I took was, we got a text on this also from Trevor, or a tweet on this on the on our Twitter account at 101.3 ESPN. Trevor says, Coach Becker begging for more resources, basically. And you heard him say, he made it very clear. He said, for what our program has resource-wise and for the facilities that we have, our fan base has been spoiled, a.k.a. we've overachieved with what we've got. We need better.
I don't know if the fan base is spoiled. I'm not going to go to that. What do you mean by spoiled? Like, we're used to this?
Where I think he feels, and he's said this multiple times recently, that the fan base doesn't seem to appreciate what this team has done or what they're doing in the moment, because we're all just looking towards March Madness.
I don't feel like all the students are in where it comes, not so much whether the team's good or not, just going to the games, getting them out and going to the games, having them experience not only UVM basketball, but other stuff too. I mean, Brady, they told me this. I didn't believe it. Rich swears by this, and people text me like crazy. Did you know that the UVM women's team would sell out? I mean, the games would be sold out, Brady. Think about that. Women's basketball sold out at Patrick Gymnasium. You can't get 100 people in there. So I don't know. Maybe the students, the townspeople, I find that hard to believe. But if they could sell out the women's game, I can only imagine what it was like back then.
Well, at UVM, the problem is getting the students there. It's a distinctly older fan base. That's UVM's problem. At other places, it's other issues. At Albany, they couldn't get the townspeople or the students to come out.
Why? I don't understand that. You'd think it'd be perfect for Albany.
At Albany, the reason was is that the parking lot was so far away from the gym. So you're talking about cold days in February. You're looking at a 10 to 15 minute walk just from the parking lot. That's the reason why Albany couldn't get there. And the building's not near the dorms, so for the students, you know how it is. Students don't go to anything unless you're going to give them freebies.
That's not the excuse here. The dorms are right near the gymnasium for the most part.
What you need is you need more promotions. There need to be more giveaways. That's what needs to happen at these college games. They need to do.
I said that. Free tuition, hit a half-court shot and stuff like that.
We used to do that stuff at Albany all the time.
Yes, absolutely.
But there needs to be Rally Catamount giveaway, bobblehead night. There needs to be, Triboli bobblehead night or Taylor Coppenrath bobblehead night. They need those kind of things.
Yeah. I mean, I would like more people to, obviously, and not only just the basketball team. You know, the soccer team had a good run. What was it, last year?
Yeah, they got to the NCAA tournament and won a game.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things you could support with the university. No doubt about that. All right, Brady, what is coming up next?
Monday Mirages.
Monday Mirages next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
To the huddle, where you can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Artie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 101.3 ESPN. Let's go!
All right, my bracket's in. I did all my picks. My bracket's in.
Arizona's winning it.
Yeah. And you hit Arizona winning, and then all the streamers come out, and you're like, yeah. So I got Arizona winning it.
That'll be the only time they see those streamers.
And I feel like a loser. They're doing the 64 most annoying sports media people. I didn't even make the 64 most annoying. I'm shocked about that.
Well, that's because you're so well-loved by your quarter of a billion listeners.
I've got to work on my annoying factor. Yeah. Or I'm just such a loser. Nobody knows who the hell I am.
Don't be so jovial.
Yeah, exactly. They have, like, Stephen A. Smith as a number one seed, and stuff like that. I can't even get a 16 seed, for crying out loud. Jeez, you think I would have made that list. So anyway, there you got that. All right, time for a little Monday Mirages.
Question.
Monday. Oh, you got a question.
I got it right.
Go ahead,
my
go ahead. Monday
goodness.
Mirages.
Do you enjoy doing that?
Yes, I do.
That's like your new thing. I almost hit it early just to screw
I know,
you.
I know. You had it ready. You better have that.
Yeah, I almost hit it early just to mess you up. All right, question one, Monday Mirages here on this Monday. You think mid-majors shouldn't have conference tournaments, real or mirage?
No, absolutely they should have conference tournaments. I'm not going to – they have to have conference tournaments. Unfortunately, you got to get more teams in from those one-bid conferences. Again, I'm okay with a second team instead of nine teams from, what is it, the ACC or whatever the hell it was they call it now. No, why would I want to get rid of the conference tournaments in the mid-majors? I wouldn't want to get –
because
even the Ivy League decided to pick up the conference
because
tournament.
Things like what happened to UVM happened that way, where the regular season champ ends up not going.
No, because then you don't have great stories like Texas Southern, who lost their first 13 games, started the year 0-13, and now they're in the tournament. No, I love everything about the conference tournaments, a second chance for everybody. Unfortunately, somebody's got to lose, and those are the conference tournament winners.
If you were ever going to get rid of the conference, I've got what I think is a pretty good alternative, though.
I heard you say point system.
Yeah, so I think you should do a point system. You get 1 point for every conference home win. You get 2 points for every conference road win, and you hold a mid-season conference tournament, like around New Year's or something. And you get 1 point for a win in that, 2 points for a second round win, and 3 points for winning the final. So that way, the winner of the conference tournament doesn't guarantee themselves the automatic bid.
But then your teams like Vermont benefit big time because you're gonna have a good strong conference record compared to a team that's in a harder conference.
No, I'm talking about though just winning. I'm talking about being the automatic bid to the league though.
Oh.
Having the most points, the highest point getter. So you still have a conference tournament. You can still have that conference tournament televised. And because you're getting more weight to road wins, you're giving teams still chances to accumulate points late in the season.
I like the conference tournament. You're sucking the fun out of it now. No, I'm okay with the way it is now. Unfortunately, it's not the fairest, but it's the most exciting.
What's better for the America East as a whole, really? Okay. Look, the game on Saturday was good for the league. Good exposure, good story. Ryan Odom takes UMBC from 7 wins in 2 years, 7 wins to the tournament. That's a good story.
He used to like his dad, Dave Odom.
But then they go and get beat by 45 by Virginia, which is what's going to happen. How beneficial is that to the conference?
No, it's not beneficial, but that's just, You can't say because you're going to lose badly, we don't want you to represent the conference, though.
And if Vermont was there, Vermont has a chance to win a game, and that's more beneficial to the conference. If Vermont wins a game in the tournament, that's better than just conference championship exposure.
No, that's why we got to figure out how to at least get a second team in. And you know what? Maybe we have to combine the NCAA and the NIT.
So you want 96 teams in?
Somebody proposed that yesterday on the show also. Or maybe do the NIT like they used to do before the season, like the preseason NIT. That was it used to be done preseason and postseason.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I would be up for something like that.
Question two, Monday Mirages here on the Huddle. You think the UVM men's basketball team season is a success, real or mirage?
Overall, yeah, it's a success. You can't say you've only lost one conference game and it not be a success, and you're still going to the NIT. Yeah, you won the conference. Yeah, it's a success. You didn't accomplish everything you wanted to, and that was go to the tournament, the NCAA tournament, win a game or two. So you're not going to accomplish that, but I can't say it's not a success when it's all said and done.
This team deserves to be celebrated, really, because you don't have any idea if it will ever be this good again. I want people to realize that. Like, this success, it doesn't last forever, especially when you're at the mid-majors. Here's what happens. You get a couple of really great recruits, then they all go to be seniors and juniors together,
yeah. And
you get a nice run of 2 to 3 years here, and then you start the process all over again. It is not easy to transfer success over year to year at the mid-major level. You have no idea if it will ever get this good again, so enjoy it and relish in it, and enjoy the NIT, baby, because you don't know if it's coming back.
Out of all the teams in the conference, though, Vermont is a better destination than just about everybody else in that conference.
Well, it depends on what you think about destination. It all depends on what, what your overall values
are. Also, it's a lot harder to get in the UVM than the other nine schools in the conference.
That, you have no idea about that. That is absolutely. That is such just a guess on your
really?
Part.
Really? Well, I'm thinking about UMBC. I'm thinking about Hartford.
You don't know anything about any of those schools.
No, but I know UVM's real tough.
Okay, so that you know one. You don't know anything about the others.
Yeah, but you know, I've been looking up colleges since my son's applying now, and I go on Niche where you put in the thing. I think UVM is the best academic school, and a lot harder than not only the best, a lot harder than all the other schools in the conference.
It all depends on the destination, what you're talking about. Okay,
what's the second best academic school in that conference?
I don't know because I'm not looking at it. But think about airport access if you want your family to come up. Burlington's a lot harder to get to than Albany, which has an airport right next to the college.
Yes, but I'm just saying it's harder to get kids.
Yeah, but you're saying it's a better destination. It all depends on what you're talking about.
I'm talking about like campus. I'm talking about city life. I'm talking about college town. I'm talking about, you know, all that
stuff. Have you been to University of New Hampshire, Albany, UMBC, Hartford? Have you been to those places?
No,
exactly.
Not.
So
I could just tell though. You know what I mean?
So again, you have really no idea.
Why? If I'm wrong, you tell me right now. The Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. What's a better destination and better academics in the conference than UVM? Someone go ahead and tell me that right now.
Yes, it's real. It's a success. Two-time player of the year is in this league. Two-time coach of the year was on this team. Sixth man of the year was on this team. Academic success for this team. This team's never in trouble. They're good role models in the community. Yes, it is absolutely real. Question three, Monday Mirages. You want to see power conference teams get at-large bids over mid-major at-large teams, real or mirage?
No, that's not. I mean, we're talking about like number 8 and number 9 from the conference? No, I don't want that. I have a rule. If you're sub-500 in your own conference, you should not be considered to go to the NCAA tournament. So if you're 8-10, I'm okay with the 9-9s. If you're 8-10, that should disqualify you. Especially like Arizona State, 9th in the conference, 8-10.
Well, remember, you hate Arizona State because they're rivals with Arizona.
I don't even – forget about that aside. Look, if Arizona State finished 2nd and lost to Arizona in the Pac-12 conference tournament championship, I'd say definitely they need to be in. I'm not going to have my bias against them. I don't care about USC. They have to get it. Just a horrible, horrible job. Absolutely horrible job. By the way, people says the Smokes go to UNH. What is that? Oh, the hot-looking women? Is that what that means?
Oh, I guess so.
Okay, that's what it says here. Derek in St. Albans. Vermont is the best destination in the conference. Also, to prevent what happened Saturday, why not make the conference championship the best of 3? Oh, stop it. Just stop that. Come on now.
I'll say that it is I don't even remember what the question was anymore. Okay, it was absolutely a mirage. I don't want to see power conference nobodies get in. I don't need to see Syracuse
in. Nobody's.
I don't need to see Virginia Tech in the tournament. I don't need 8-10 Arizona State. I don't need Oklahoma in. Give me St. Mary's. Give me Middle Tennessee State.
That's just two, though. You know, we're not asking for a whole bunch of mid-majors, too. It would have been Middle Tennessee and St. Mary's are the only two that I'm clamoring.
And while we're at it, get rid of the play-in games in general, please, between the 16 seeds. I don't need to see 16 seeds. You won your way into the tournament. You deserve to be in the tournament, not off to the side.
They used to be all 16 seeds, then we immediately changed it to the last four teams that got
in. Well, it used to only be two playing games. Then when they went to 68.
Right.
So I hate that because that's just another way to sneak in another big conference team by putting the 16 seeds out to the side. It's ridiculous. Question four, Monday Mirage is here on the Huddle. You are now worried about the Celtics because of all of their injuries. Now we know Marcus Smart's hurt with that thumb. Daniel Theis out for the season. It's getting dire in Boston.
It's getting dire. Yes, I'm worried about the injuries. Finally, it's starting to catch up to them. Though I'm really not worried from the sense of all the other teams. Toronto obviously has taken a hold of it, but look at everybody else. Cleveland might not even make the playoffs. They're sitting in the fourth seed.
Indiana's seven games behind the Celtics.
I know. I'm not worried about the other teams. I'm just worried that Boston itself might not be able to recover. And didn't we talk about this, that Kyrie's injury now? A lot worse, and he may have to miss a whole bunch more games because of that knee. So I don't know how it's going to turn out, but yes, it's a big concern, no doubt about that.
I'll say it's a mirage, but with some caveats to it. I'm not worried about their ability to make the playoffs or get the number two seed because, as you said, they're seven games ahead of Indiana, who's in that three seed. What I am worried about is Kyrie Irving's ability to sign a long-term deal and be around for the life of that deal and live, you know, have his career span until he's 32, 33, 34. That worries me. I don't want to see him be like Isaiah Thomas with the Pistons, who was done at 32 years old. I am not worried about Jaylen Brown. He'll be fine. And Al Horford was out yesterday for illness. I'm not worried about him. But between Kyrie and now the bench depth and Smart, I'm concerned about this team's ability to win as much as we thought, but I'm not concerned about their ability to get the playoffs and get to the number two seed. Question five, now that Richard Sherman is a 49er, you think that move makes the Niners an NFC favorite, real or mirage?
No, that's a mirage. $39 million 3 years. I think the first year's though is going to be about $6 or $7 million. You might as well take that money and flush it down the toilet. I'm going to pay for a 30-something year.
Yeah, but it's barely. Didn't you see how the contract breaks down?
$6 million the first year. Is that what it was? $6-7 million.
He's only going to get $3 million guaranteed out of this whole thing.
He might as well take. Well, you're going to get a roster bonus for another $2 million
if he's on the team week one.
Well, that's $5 million right off the bat. He's going to get. He'll get his money his first year, but you might as well take that and flush it down the toilet. Patriots never even made him an offer.
Nope, and I thought they were wrong too. They should have made him.
And by the way, San Francisco didn't even really want him. They wanted to keep Tlaib, and they weren't able to go ahead and pull the trigger on that also. So they had to settle for Plan B, maybe even Plan C. I don't know. Maybe he could have gotten more money if he had a real agent, so I'm not really sure how that worked out for him. But if we're just asking how good he's going to be, I think he's going to be worthless, and he'll be lucky to finish out the year with San Francisco.
I'll say it is a mirage, but it's not because of Richard Sherman. If the Niners are going to be an NFC favorite, it's going to be because of Jimmy Garoppolo and John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. It's not going to be because of one defensive back.
No.
I think it was a fine move. I think they got the better end of the monetary side of the deal. I trust that Sherman's going to be okay for at least the first year. I think that the NFC West is very, very good. I think it's going to be hard for them to beat the Rams and maybe the Seahawks this year, although I think the Niners are closely, soon surpassing what the Seahawks do in the NFC West. If the Niners are a favorite, it's because of the quarterback, not because of Sherman.
All right. Is that Monday Mirage? That's all the questions. The K-Man says, I couldn't agree with Brady Moore. Get rid of the play-in games. They're pointless. I think it just stretches it out. Gets everybody a little bit excited. It's like the hors d'oeuvres before the start of the tournament. You get a little bit on Tuesday, a little bit on Wednesday.
Then give me all four games being 11 seed power conferences. Do not give me the 16 seed. They earned their way into the tournament.
Well, they did give you the last four. Say Bonaventure, UCLA, Arizona State, Syracuse.
So give me all four play-in games being those kind of teams.
Sherman is low risk, high reward play. Very smart, low money. John in St. Albans. I think a lot of people kind of agree with that. But I don't think you're going to be able to. By the way, if you don't think he's going to be on the team the first week because of the roster bonus and him getting cleared to play because of medical reasons, boy, oh boy, then I've got to scratch my head why you even want to get near that guy if you're going to have to start questioning about that. I think there's a problem. John says, Coach Becker sounded sad, as we all are. Saturday did not go our way. Yeah, he was trying to keep upbeat, though, Brady. He did try to keep upbeat. Brady, I'm going to make you stay the whole show today. So what's coming up on Champlain Valley Game Night tonight?
Ken Kreitz of RotoWire is going to stop by. The K-Train, we're going to talk and get you ready for your fantasy baseball draft.
All right, what's coming up next?
Coming up next, 4-Minute Football Fix and the Daily Spring Training Update.
All right, all that next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
I miss football. You miss football. We all miss football. So let's talk some football. Training camp may be a ways away, but we'll help you through the wait. This is your 4-Minute Football Fix on the Huddle 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, our 4-Minute Football Fix. Real quick, I just want to fill this out on the 4-Minute Football Fix. What did you think about the pictures of OBJ? I mean, now, I don't know what was wrapped up in whatever he was smoking, and I don't know what the white powdery substance, for all I know, that's grain sugar. I'm not going to go ahead and say it isn't, or what he was doing, but you can't have that. You can't have that.
No, you can't have it. Yes, I think it's a big deal, but as Stephen A. Smith said, you're not going to get drug tested. He's not in the drug in the program.
That's not the point, though.
Right? He's not going to test positive for anything. So could you?
For anybody that's stupid to allow that to happen, first of all, like you said, you could be a pain in the ass depending on how good you are, right?
Yep.
Well, I've got to get rid of him because if he's going to do that and not care, what's next? And you know something's next. Don't tell me something's not going to be next.
So you're
going to
trade him?
I'm going to trade him. Because when you're going to allow a picture of some girl you picked up with drugs, alleged drugs, excuse me, and this is not the first time. What about with the marijuana cigarettes at the boat before the playoffs? Was it last?
Yeah, that wasn't him.
No, that was him. It was him and like a bunch of other guys.
Yeah, but I don't think he had it.
No, he didn't have it in his hand. But come on, you know, enough is enough. I'm done with him. I'm done with the whole thing, and I'll get whatever I can. I just can't deal with it anymore.
4-Minute Football Fix, though. Let's talk about a move that did get made over the weekend. That's the Patriots acquiring Danny Shelton, defensive tackle from the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
The Pats also will get a fifth-round pick this year. In exchange, they're giving up a third-round pick in 2019. Look, here's the book on Shelton. He was a first-round pick out of Washington.
Right.
Underachieved in Cleveland. He is a run stopper in every sense of the word when he's at his best.
But everybody underachieves in Cleveland.
Well, he had 33 tackles last year and 16 starts. So he struggled last year, lost some playing time. The year before that, though, he was a lot better. He's only 24 years old. He's been good at stopping the run as recently as 2016. Look, I like this move for the Pats. It's a cheaper version of Allen Branch. It's a younger version of Allen Branch. It's a young player that can be molded potentially this year and kind of revitalize his career, which the Patriots have been known to do. They also get a fifth-round pick this year. And for a team that I've said needs to have the sense of urgency to win for however long Brady and Belichick are together, they need as many pieces for this year as possible. I'm not worried about mortgaging a third-round pick next year.
It's good. It's not going to make much of a difference. Maybe help a little out of cap space, and you can use that money for something else. It's like, look, up 230 pounds. I had a salad yesterday. It's good that I had the salad. Really not going to do a whole heck of a lot with me losing weight, Brady. But it's good that I had the salad. Well, it's good that the Patriots made this move, but I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make.
The Pats were 20th against the run last year and 31st in yards per rush allowed.
Wow.
So if you're going to tell me that the Pats are getting a run-stopping defensive tackle, then I'm going to be on board with that move and acquire a pick this year. He had 9 sacks in his last year at Washington. Maybe he can get back to that form.
9 sacks?
9 sacks in his senior year at Washington.
Yeah, last year he only had like 1 or 2 sacks or something like that.
Well, he's only had 1.5 sacks, I think, in his career.
Oh, get out of here. Jeez.
But he had 9 his last year at Washington. Patriots do have a decision to make. He's got a $7 million fifth-year option, which they are on the hook now for trying to figure out they're going to pick up without him playing a game. So that's precarious. Yeah, but overall, I like the move.
Not for $7 million, though. You got to watch out for the money. Yeah.
Well, they're not going to get $7 million this year. They get him for a very cheap rate this season.
And then after that, it's...
They just have to decide by May 2nd if they want him for 2019 also. And that's hard to do when you've never seen him play in your system.
Right. No, I understand that. But they go with the bargain basement price. We'll see what he does this year. Obviously, we'll have to tell what he does this year before they make that decision.
So that's the 4-Minute Football Fix.
You didn't have the Tom Brady phone call to Rob Gronkowski after the game?
We're going to talk Tom versus time tomorrow, and that's where that comes from.
Yeah, I know that. You can't play it, though.
Well, there's some
words in there.
We'll see what we can play tomorrow. Yeah. How about that?
I heard there's some words in there that's not suitable for people that are 40 or 50 years old.
Okay.
I love it, though. I love that stuff. So,
hey, real quick, yeah. Daily spring training update. Yeah. Usually we talk Red Sox and Yankees on this one, but this one was cool. Orioles spring training. So the Orioles have announced a new program. It's called Kids Cheer Free, in which parents can bring children ages 9 and under to games for free. If you buy one upper deck level price seat, you can bring in two kids under the age of 9 for free. I think this is brilliant.
For what team? What is this?
Baltimore.
I don't know what they're drawing for the games, so I don't know if that will count for attendance, but I think that's great. I love anything you could do for the kids. I don't know why, I guess 9, but I love the fact that, you know, I told you about the remote we did with the gloves and the kids lined up. I think that's great. Anything you do with the kids, like where they run the bases before the game or after the game, I mean, Brady, and
yeah.
I love all that stuff. I'm happy for that.
If we're talking about wanting to get baseball a younger fan base, then what better way to get them, you know, to get them to be fans of the game than let them into the place for free and experience the game? And now, I mean, you know as well as I do how expensive it is to go to games.
I was just about to ask you, Rich got a ticket to the Coyotes for $7 or something like that.
Yeah, but the Coyotes are really bad, okay? Think right. about those teams that are really good and what their ticket. My dad and I went to the Browns for $10 a piece.
What's the cheapest seat for, like, Yankee Stadium, which is probably the high end there?
I would say you can't get a seat at Yankee Stadium for less than $30 would be my guess.
I would say probably the same thing for the Cubs, too.
So,
you know, because people want to sit out there.
If you want to take a family of four, I would say you're looking at minimum 120 in tickets, plus parking, plus the gas to drive to these places, plus food and merchandise when you're there. You're looking at a $400 day by the time you bring in all that stuff there. At least the cheaper tickets gets them in the door. The free tickets gets them in the door.
Yeah, you weren't around. Remember, I told you about bullpen carts. You weren't around the days that we had real doubleheaders. I mean, real doubleheaders.
Oh, yeah.
Not this day-night stuff where they clear you out of the stadium and get a whole new group in there. Back-to-back games, man. When's the last time they, except for rainouts, where they had scheduled back-to-back or, you know, a doubleheader in a day? It had to have been a long time. I don't think they do that anymore. They haven't done scheduled doubleheaders in years now. It's only if there's like a rainout or games they have to make out at the end of the season, Brady, they'll do that.
I'm looking for it, but I'm not going to be able to find it in the time that we are.
Yeah, they've stopped doing that. I mean, there used to be days you would get like maybe 4, 5, 6 scheduled doubleheaders in a season. You don't get even one that what.
On June 10th, 2017, the Rays and A's played a scheduled single admission day-day doubleheader.
Wow. Day-day? What you mean just two games back-to-back?
Yeah, back-to-back, which is what you just talked about.
Wow, that's incredible.
Tampa is going to they also had 3 single-admission doubleheaders scheduled at the end of last season also.
Okay, so they're doing it right. People love doubleheaders. I didn't even know they were still doing it. I thought they stopped doing doubleheaders and said the hell with it. All right, last story standing. And this had to do with the Laker game yesterday. I don't know if you saw that story.
The great pass by LeBron in which he faked out the entire team?
No. better than that. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, I was watching the Laker game yesterday. The game was at halftime. The second half was about to start. Everybody was making their way back to their seats. And Jack Nicholson was going back to his seat.
Okay.
And a usher stopped him and said, "Excuse me, sir, do you have your ticket?" And Jack found it intrusive that he had to take his ticket out of his pocket and show it to him. And then everybody, of course, the highlight of it went viral. And they said, "Does this guy know who Jack is?" The guy was young. He was like 25, 26 years old. Should he know who Jack Nicholson is, Brady? I mean, you know him from the games, but
I know
do you know
from,
what he? I mean, have you watched any of his movies? I mean,
The Shining, The
that's
Departed.
That's like 100 years ago.
The Departed?
The Departed. I mean,
Cuckoo's Nest?
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, another 100-year-old. But should the guy have known who Jack was or not really?
Yes.
He should have known who Jack was.
Yes.
Because Jack's like, come on, really? By the way, Jack let himself go. He's gained a little bit of weight. I got to tell you that.
So that's something that you and Jack have in common?
Yes, we've let ourselves go. And by the way, I didn't get to see the OJ thing.
I did not either.
If I did it, this is how I would have done it. I don't know if that's the title. What a knucklehead that guy is. What a knucklehead. There's no doubt in my mind after listening to excerpts of it that he did it. No doubt. If there was ever doubt, which there wasn't, there's no doubt now. That's for damn sure. That guy's a
knucklehead. I have to catch up on that, and then I have to catch up on Tom versus Time. The last one came out today. TB12 was on Good Morning America today. Talked with Michael Strahan. So we'll talk all about Tom versus Time, part 6, and the final Tom versus Time tomorrow.
All right. What's coming up on Champaign Valley game night tonight?
I'm going to talk right off the bat about why people's perception of UVM this year incorrect.
Ooh. All right. For intern?
Nobody.
No interns. Rich on vacation for Brady. I'm Arnie. Champaign Valley game night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.